We are beginning this year talking about imparting faith. That was a strong emphasis in 2014, and we have done much work here in this congregation in the area of helping our young people come to faith. And so this morning I want to do a little bit of an analysis to help us see exactly what we're talking about when we speak of imparting faith. And so I'll be looking at this whole image of imparting faith, and I want to use the imagery of a tree and how a tree grows to help us see this. Now, as we begin this study, let me turn my clicker on, and that'll help. Now, got a cross section of a tree here. Faith, as it is planted and as it grows, develops a lot the same way that a tree grows and develops. Scripture has much to say about faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Romans 10:17 that we began with this morning, faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. Galatians 3:26, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And there are countless examples of men and women who came to faith and then who grew to be strong in their faith. Faith is a dynamic, living, growing, changing thing in our lives. And so this morning I want to do a closer examination of faith, and I want to do a dissection of our faith and see the stages that we want to see our young people move through, and also the stages that we should be moving through in our own faith. The cross section of a tree lets us see how old a tree is and the development of that tree. The good years, when there's been plenty of moisture and nutrients, you'll have a wider ring. The harder years, when there's been drought, it'll be a smaller ring. But every year, you'll see some level of growth as the tree progresses. Several years ago, a man named John Westerhoff wrote a book called Will Our Children Have Faith? And in that book, he examined the stages of faith and talked about what predictably happens when children grow up in a church like Sunset and who go through our programs and our Sunday schools and who then are baptized and grow up through their teenage years and then go away to college. He asks the question, will they continue to have faith? And he talks about things that need to happen at every stage of faith. And this is extremely helpful. I think he's right on target. It's extremely helpful in us gauging and helping our children, and it's extremely helpful in our own personal evaluation. So as we go through these, at the end I'm going to ask you, where are you? We're going to look at four stages of faith, and people don't always move through all these stages to maturity. So honestly, evaluate your faith growth as we ask this question at the end. Now, there's an important point in this, and that is when faith begins to grow, it is legitimate faith. When a person first comes to Jesus Christ, they are a babe in Christ, but they are a Christian. They are saved. In the material that I was looking at that Westerhoff wrote, he says, it is not the number of rings that determine the genuineness of the tree. Now, if I am entering college, the diploma awaits me at the end. I do not enter as a college graduate. I enter as someone who has four or more years of arduous activity ahead of me before I finally achieve the goal. That's not the way Christianity is. The day I own Jesus Christ and am born again in the waters of baptism, I become a complete Christian. I am saved completely the day I come out of the water dripping wet. It's not a a situation where only after I have memorized this amount of scripture and done this much and done more, finally, then I will be awarded the crown of life. No, I am a full-blown saved Christian the day I honor Jesus Christ in obedience. Now, it's not the number of rings that determines the genuineness of the tree. It's a tree from the very beginning. It doesn't get to be more of a tree the older it gets. It just becomes a more mature tree. A tree is no less healthy when it's young. A Christian is no less healthy when they're a babe in Christ. A new Christian is just as much a Christian as an older, mature man or woman in the faith. They're just at different stages in their faith development. Now, what happens with maturity in faith and what happens with maturity in trees is that there is more freedom and there's more strength and there's more independence. There's no more need for stakes. When you first put a little sapling out, it's a good idea to put some stakes out there and some guy wires so the winds won't blow it over. You might even have to put some protective wire around it to keep the deer from eating it. And so you need to take care of it. Once maturity is reached, you don't need a hothouse. You don't need the stakes. You don't need the guy wires. You don't need that kind of protection anymore. Paul talks of varying levels of faith. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul says, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." When you're a brand new Christian, that's the measure of faith you have, and that's okay. When you've been a Christian for 10 years, that's the measure of faith you have, and you've grown, and that's okay. After you have been a Christian your entire life, years and years, you have a much different, or you should have a much different level of faith. And so he speaks of these measures of faith. Now, faith is like a tiny seedling, like a searching root, that when it finds Jesus, it begins to grow. And it's nourished as it sends up those first slender shoots and begins this growth process. Even if that first root of faith is ever so tiny, that's all right. It's not about how much faith I have at the beginning of my walk with Christ. It's about the object of that faith. The power and the strength is in the object of my faith. It's in Jesus. Faith is just the conduit through which that salvation comes. And I think that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 17, down in verse 20. He said, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Now, go back to that cross section of the tree and think of that innermost ring, the first year of the life of the tree. Faith actually begins from a very early age. Faith is instilled from a very early age. And so even our children, before they have taken their own personal step of faith, they have an incipient faith. They have the faith of their parents, of their church family. I can't even remember the first time that I ever heard the story of Jesus. It begins in cradle roll classes, and children learn to pat the Bible, and they learn to sing the songs, and they learn about the God of creation. And you can walk down this hallway on your way out this morning and look in the first door to the left, and you'll see all the things that these little children are learning about God and His nature and His power. And so faith finds itself originally in an incipient form. It's a faith that is being taught and that these children are growing up in. It's really the experienced faith of others who have a much more mature faith. Well, at this early age, these children go to Bible class. They learn their lessons. They love their teachers. They learn how to act in church. They watch as the Lord's Supper is passed by. But they're strictly observers. at this stage. All the decisions are really made for them. They have no active determination in what's going on or how things are to be organized or how things are to be done. They simply are observers and they're participants in something that is decided for them. This is the kind of faith Paul talks about that Timothy originally had, that incipient faith that became his own personal faith later. In 2 Timothy 1, Paul says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded lives in you also." And so most of us receive faith at the feet of people like Lois and Eunice, for we were taught to love the Lord, and then eventually that became our own faith. Now the second stage of faith, at this early stage, it's sort of an incipient faith. Here is where it really begins. It's what Westerhoff calls affiliative faith. This is where a child, as they grow older, makes their own commitment to Jesus Christ. It's almost always at the point that they make the decision to be baptized. And it's their own initial commitment to Jesus Christ. It's a decision that is made not for you, but by you. And young people make that decision. I am ready to be baptized. They'll usually talk to their parents or talk to someone in the congregation. And after a period of discussion, usually that they'll come on a Sunday morning down to the front, or they'll meet up here some night with their family, and they'll be baptized. That's the way it was with me. I know that's the way it was with some of you as you became Christians. And the individual then makes a conscious decision to join in with the rest of the group in which their faith has grown. Because their parents have faith, and because others that they admire and have confidence in have faith, then they are willing to demonstrate their faith in the same way they've seen others do. And they are baptized, and they begin their new life in Christ, and they join in to the worship of the church, and they begin to take part in communion, and they begin to serve in various capacities, even as young people, in the life of the community, in the church. And they do this because this is what they've always seen. This is what they've been taught, and this is what they have confidence in. This is what they've learned, and they have made that level of commitment. I was 13 years old when I did this, and when I became a member of the 37th Street Church of Christ in Snyder, Texas. And if you'd asked me then, well, why do you folks do this in some doctrinal matter? Or why do you believe that in some doctrinal area? I would have just said, well, that's the way we do it. That's the way I was taught. That's the way I was raised. And at age 13, that's okay to give that kind of an answer, because that's all I knew at that time. Young trees need stakes. Now, it's different for those who have not grown up in a church setting, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. There are some who become Christians as adults, and they work through many of these issues before they ever come to faith in Christ. But we're talking about our children and how we bring our children up and impart faith to them. Now, it's okay to be at that level, but if a person stays at that level where their only answer is, that's just what I've always done, and that's what I've always believed, and that's what I've always been taught, that there is a danger in stopping the faith growth at that process for any of our young people, or for any of us for that matter. Sometimes I hear people say, you know, I'm a Church of Christ, and that's what we believe. And I sort of cringe when I hear people say that, because that tells me that that person has a level of faith that has not been worked through. They're still depending upon what the church says about this. I'll get phone calls occasionally, and someone will ask me, Joe, what do we believe about premillennialism? And I want to say, I don't know what you believe about premillennialism. Have you studied through that issue? But there are people who don't want to do the work. They don't want to do the study. They just want to be spoon-fed all of their lives. And as long as their beliefs are in line with what the church believes, that's good enough for them. And so it's not their own faith, again, that they're regressing rather than that faith being their own. Now, that's great as far as stability and uniformity in a church, but it creates an atmosphere, if the body stays at that level, that is very vulnerable to legalism, and it can be a very fearful and threatening thing if anybody ever comes in and starts to ask questions, because faith is seen as something that's being challenged. Now, people who get stuck at this stage two level, just affiliative faith, if they never grow beyond that, then they become the kind of people who are fearful when hard questions are asked. And they even feel threatened when someone comes in and asks those kinds of questions. They feel extremely uncomfortable when a newcomer comes in who hasn't grown up in the church, and they begin asking questions that have never been asked, or are challenging time-honored traditions that we have. And when these new folks come in, or when young people begin to grow up and ask these questions, they can feel very threatened when people say, you know, how come we have to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? And how come we have to have an invitation song at the end of the sermons? And why don't we have women elders in this church? And parents can become very rattled if children begin to challenge and ask these kinds of questions. Folks who are stuck at level two prefer to just stick to the basics, and if you're stuck there, you don't want these kinds of questions. Well, the truth of the matter, and what I hope we can do as we allow our children in this church family to grow into a mature faith, is to allow questions to be asked and to have open discussions and to discuss things in our Sunday school classes, but especially in our homes. Have spiritual discussions in which parents are able to entertain these kinds of questions without fear and without feeling threatened, and talk to their children and work through these kinds of issues in a good way. Such questions and challenges are not a threat to the health and growth of the individual. They're a sign of the health and the growth of the individual. It's part of the faith process to go through and work through these kinds of hard questions. I can remember when I got to college, being exposed to some things and going home, and boy, we had some hard discussions around the breakfast table, around the supper table. And my dad was quite upset at the time, and he said, "Where are you getting all these notions? You didn't learn that here." And I said, "No." But we worked through a lot of these things. And I learned I was not nearly as mature or as wise as I thought I was, and that my dad knew some things I didn't think he knew. But those were some hard years as we worked through some of those faith issues as I was growing in my own faith. Affiliative faith is a wonderful stage of growth, but it is a bad place to stop growing. Up to 80%, according to Westerhoff in his study, up to 80% of those, and he looks at Christianity in the broadest sense of the term, he says up to 80% of folks who come to faith stop growing at level two. Level three is what is called searching faith. Folks that grew up in church are really searching for answers, and they're beginning to ask questions in their studies. Our new Christians come in, and they're just full of questions, and they want to know, why do you do this and why do you do that? And so Bible study is needed, and people begin to dig, and they begin to come up with their conclusions that are held from their own convictions, and not just because that's what the preacher said or that's what the elders say. They go to Scripture and they're able to study through and work through these kinds of things. Now, this can be seen sometimes as rebellious. And this can be seen as threatening, and it can rattle us. But especially for parents who are seeing their children move on up through this stage, it's so critical that we not squelch these kinds of questionings and searchings. If you do, then those people, those young people, will feel stifled and they'll be filled with frustration, and sooner or later they're going to walk. They're going to leave, and they're going to go somewhere where they can have their questions answered. Or, even worse, they'll forget their questions, and they'll lose their conviction, and they'll just remain in a static level of stunted growth. Now, we need to view honest questions for what they are. They're the growing edge of faith, and if we are challenged to do anything as a church, we need to be challenged to be ready to give an answer, and to be patient, and to discuss, and to work through any questions that our young people may ask, and help them as they come to this next level of faith in their own life. Now, the last stage, the fourth stage, is what is called an owned faith. This is a confident, assured faith of the individual. This is what we would refer to as a mature Christian. A tree that can stand on its own through any storm. No more need for special care or housing. Even if the group goes under, even if some other trees in the forest fall, this tree can stand through whatever comes. This is a person who knows not only what they believe, they know why they believe the things they believe. In the first psalm, it describes this kind of individual. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And so, I want to encourage us as a church, and especially the families within this church, to move to the level of discussion that will allow your children to grow all the way to a mature faith. But I hope this morning that we'll also reflect on our own lives, and that you'll ask yourself, which level are you? Have you moved through these levels of faith to a mature faith? Can you give an answer for the hope that you have? Can you provide counsel and encouragement in a supportive way to those who are challenging long-held beliefs and not feel threatened by those things? Wherever we find ourselves, God has a word for all of us, and that word is this: keep on growing. Just keep on growing. Keep your eye on the goal and move forward. That's what we want to do in 2015 with our young people. That's what we want to do as more mature Christians in this church family. And so this morning, if there is any way we can help you through prayer, or if you're ready to render obedience to Jesus Christ this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.